I'm going to write something here, and I'm going to have you think about whether you like it or not.
It's good.
Is that nice? Is that nice? That was nice. But what about what it says? Mom told you what it said. No, I hate you. That's, if I said that to you, would you like that? I hate you, Isaiah. No, you wouldn't. But you know what? I have something in here, and I'm going to get rid of that. And I'm going to put something else there. And then you can tell me how you like it. I love you. You like that? Yeah, that's much better, isn't it? That's much better. And we like to do things that are good, things that will make people happy. But I was able to change that just with this because I made a mistake. I made a mistake. And you know what? God looks after us that way too, because He will, when we make mistakes, He will look after us and He will rub them away, get rid of them, and then we can be happy ourselves. Isn't that right? God likes us to do good things, nice things, kind things, and say nice things. And you know what I have for you today? I have something that can help you rub out things when you make mistakes when you write. And I also have something that's going to show how you feel when you've rubbed out those mistakes. What is that? What kind of face is it? Funny face. That makes me, when you, things that you do that hurt people and you erase them, you get rid of them, that makes the people feel better. It makes you feel better too. And when you tell God about things that you did that you shouldn't have done, that makes Him feel better. Or if you've hurt somebody, or you apologize to your mom for something that you've done, or your sisters, yeah, makes you feel better. And then you can think about that happy face. Now, I'll take your garbage. Okay. Let's pray before you go.
You can take mine and get out.
Let's pray before we go downstairs. Thank you, God, that you have given us Jesus. And He's there to erase our mistakes and make us feel better. Help us, Lord, to always remember that when we do that, we are much happier and other people are happier too. Go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Kate. Just now prepare our hearts for prayer. My dearly beloved Father, I come to you humbled in the fact that I know I can't save myself. I appreciate the fact that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, sacrificed so much for all of us. I also at times come to you boldly, knowing that I can cling to that faith. I often think about Peter jumping out of the boat, walking on the water. I often do such things where I have a lot of enthusiasm that seem like a good idea at the time, but don't think. Then there's times I wish that I could have situations and groups like Teen Challenge that can help me through struggles. I come to you by faith, but my faith only goes so far. I'm often reminded by you, Father, that I haven't opened up every little room in my heart, that I haven't totally surrendered every single part of my body. I often feel like this old story about a person hanging from a tree limb over a cliff. But you're underneath saying, let go, I'll catch him. And I don't have that faith to let go yet. I do trust in you, Father, and the Lord and Savior. And I do help as many as I can, but there's so many shortcomings, and I cling to you in your holy word. And our friends and our brothers in Teen Challenge, they help us with things that we can't do on our own. I also want to reach out to those in our prayer chain. those that constantly have ongoing issues and those that are able to be with us. I'm always reminded of Barb and her courage. I can't meet her without a smile and her saying things like, God is good. I know deep inside that she really wonders about the cancer and wonders about her struggle. But she knows that her life and her spirit is so within your hands. I reach out for her, keep Dale and keep Prophet and all those that are having a well-deserved rest. I know many people that wanted to be here today to listen to Teen Challenge, but they have other commitments and it's the time of year where there's vacations already planned. So I reach out to them on their trips, that your encompassing hand and your Holy Spirit will watch over them. And I also want to have a moment of silence that you can search the hearts of everyone here and to listen to their cries and their voices and their worship and their prayers. And Heavenly Father, you say when two or more of us are gathered together in your name, seeking you, that you will be there. So help us to take a step forward towards you, that you will take a step towards us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and watch over us in your holy name. For you should stretch forth your wing and under its shadow we shall be protected, and your truth will be our shield and buckler. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So it's my honor now to introduce Norm and his wife, Ruth, and Colleen and Trish. There is a little insert inside your bulletin. There also is going to be some kind of display downstairs. And I've been reading up on this for a few weeks now, and I'm anxious to see what this is all about. I have helped from time to time some people with some problems that need counseling. My job to teach people how to use construction equipment. I'm trying to get their feedback on, and I often find that, many of the people that actually will come for that course are half asleep, because I think they've been up all night partying and they still struggle with certain things. And I really appreciate your ministry and what you're going to be doing right now. And right now it's my honor to introduce Norm and his presentation for Teen Challenge.
Good morning. Everybody happy? just wanted to make sure. I'm going to steal this away. Make myself at home. Is that okay? Well, it's good to be here. Well, at my age, it could be anywhere, but I'm really thankful to be here today. And to be able to share what the Lord is doing at Teen Challenge. I tried the retirement thing a few years ago, after 11 years at Huntley Street, and then when David had retired, it seemed like the proper thing to do when I got to a certain age. And so I tried that for a few months, but I found there's still too much fire burning in my belly. And then the Lord, back a year ago, and I was doing other things in between, speaking and so on, and but almost a year ago, I had an encounter with the CEO by telephone of Teen Challenge. Said he wanted to talk to me, and I was down in the States when he called me. But just before that, I was traveling, and the Lord spoke into my heart one day that he was going to shift our direction. And not knowing what that was, and I called my wife and I said, you know what, I just really believe the Lord spoke to me that God was going to change our direction in ministry and what we were doing. And she already had felt the same thing and didn't know, never dreamed in my wildest dreams that I would ever be working with Teen Challenge. So I was too old to pastor, but I had to go work with the youth. So don't give up, folks. We're never too old, I guess. So anyhow, here we are. And how many of you have never heard tell Teen Challenge? You do not know what we do. Everybody knows what we do? Okay, we're going on. We Well, let me just give you a little background, at least anyway, for our duration. We've been 55 years now of this ministry going since 1958. And it's been amazing. The thousands and thousands and thousands of lives that have come through the program and have been changed. And our success rate in alcohol and drug addiction is between 70 and 85% after 5 years. So we go 5 years to do the analysis on how people are doing. And so that in itself is incredible. And when I saw those stats and realized what it was all about and what God is doing, it's not just about a program. Program is good, ours is strong, the girls will tell you it's difficult at times, but it's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's able to do. And in Bill's prayer, he alluded to walking on water. And sometimes that's the kind of faith that is absolutely necessary to come through the Teen Challenge program. It's water walking faith. When Peter got out of that boat, his eyes were fastened on Jesus. But when he looked at the waves, guess what? He started to sink. And that's when the Lord took hold of him and lifted him up out of the troubled sea of what was happening. And we're seeing Jesus do that when troubled young lives come into our program and need help that is beyond human possibility in a lot, if not most, cases. Just to give you a little background of a couple of things about drug addiction in this country, Canada. 47,000 Canadian deaths this year alone will be linked to substance abuse. 47,000 people will die in Canada linked to substance abuse this year. 219,000 high school students will be sold or given some kind of drug or alcohol this year. That's 23% of Ontario high school students. Are you hearing me? That's atrocious. And drugs in this country and alcohol is absolutely pandemic that is happening right now in Canada and in America and actually around the world. And when we see what's happening and the things that are taking place, it almost looks like an impossibility to help and to stop some of this stuff. But by the grace of God, there is help, and there are people's lives being changed. And I said to a person the other day, I said, you know, it's sad that there is a place called Teen Challenge. But I'm glad there's a place called Teen Challenge. And not everybody that comes to Teen Challenge is a teen. It started off and it was just totally all teenagers, but because of legalities and guardianship and all kinds of things that take place and that you would have to have in place to have juveniles, it's just beyond our ability, cost-wise, to just have, you know, 16-year-olds, 14, all these type of things, and you cannot put an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old in the same program. So we operate from 18 years of age and up. And we've got them from that age, and some right up. We've had people in our program up into their 60s. And so we'll take them. If they've got a problem, and if it's a drug-related or alcohol-related problem, we know what God is able to do in their lives, and it's absolutely tremendous. So that gives you a little background. Usually what I do, I have a DVD that I show for about 7 minutes. Gives you the whole picture of what's going on at the Women's Center here in Aurora, right on the border of King City, where we're located there on Dufferin. And my job is that I work with pastors in the greater GTA area and sometimes beyond that. But most of the time it's in Toronto. And I'm amazed, absolutely amazed, at the pastors who have no idea that there is a place for women on their doorstep. We've been in operation now for almost 5 years. We've graduated now over 30 young women from our program. We're on an old acreage down there. There's buildings in the property. Right now we're able to house about 25 women. And we got work to do in one of the other buildings before the municipality will let us go to all the beds that we do have. But when they give us the green light, we will be able to have 75 women on that site. And it's sad that we have to do that, but I'm glad that we can do that. And to see what the Lord will do in these precious, precious lives. And for me and my wife, it's been kind of an emotional roller coaster these last number of months, because we have three daughters, we have six grandkids, and three of those are girls, three boys. And so I was at the farm in London where the men's center is this week, and we have not only a men's center in Lambeth, London area, but also in the Sioux, up in Sault Ste. Marie, and then right across the country. And we're opening another brand new one right now in St. John's, Newfoundland. And Huntley Street, Crossroads gave us the property there because they turned all the Circle Square ranches over to InterVarsity, who now run them. But they didn't want the Newfoundland one, but God had a purpose for that. And so now, because of the heavy, heavy addiction that's going on in Newfoundland, we're able now to acquire that property and are working with the municipality to bring it up to the code they want us to have when we're having a living residence on that piece of property. So pray for us that God will not only give us the wherewithal to create the right environment and atmosphere that needs to happen there, but that the finances will be there as well. And Bill alluded to this brochure, this collateral that you have in your bulletin. And the reason why that is there is to give people an opportunity, you an opportunity, if God would so bless you to do so. And if you would like to, we need your help on a monthly basis. And I don't say that ashamedly or shyly, we just do. And it's $40 a month to sponsor a student or whatever you can afford to do. It's not about equal money, but equal sacrifice. And so if $20 a month would work for you, and if you're able to help us with that, then we would say absolute thank you, thank you. And if you can't do anything, you can pray. And you can fill this out, and you can give this to us that you pray for us and so on, but you would get two or three times a year an update. I'm not asking for money, but an update showing what God is doing throughout Canada in the Teen Challenge program that's going on from coast to coast. And so, just to give you an example of the cost and the need, $40 a month is all we ever ask God's people, because it's only God's people that help us. We don't get government funding. We don't have huge corporations backing us up. Some smaller ones that help us from time to time. But it's God's people, one by one, helping meet the need on a daily basis. And when you take in the overall cost and the consideration of our students that are there, between the men's centers and the women's center, we've got over 100 students right now in our program. And at $4,000 per month per student, because you take the overall cost of staff and buildings and food and all these things, that's what it goes down to in cost. So you do the math on that, and it'll tell you the burden that's there every month. So it's just one helping hand at a time that keeps us operating on a daily basis. Now, I just want to say thank you to you if you would consider helping us in any way, shape, or form. God has been so gracious to us in the sense that 55 years ago, when God spoke to David Wilkerson, saw a bunch of boys kill a child in a wheelchair just to see somebody die. And it so stirred his heart. And he was pastoring in a little church up in Pennsylvania. This thing hit the newspapers all over New York State and up through Pennsylvania and everywhere, and all over television way back in the day when all this took place. And the Lord would wake him up in the night, and that man would get on his face in the middle of the night crying out to God. Somehow he wanted to go see what was taking place with those young boys, if he could just get to see them. And of course they wouldn't let him do that. He even walked into a courtroom when the court session was going on. He'd driven down from Pennsylvania, walked in there, carrying his Bible. He thought, well, if I just take my Bible, I'll have some credibility possibly, and the judge might let me see them or whatever. But anyway, when the judge concluded the court business that day, Wilkerson stood up and held up his Bible. He said, "Your honors, could I ask you a question? I'd like to see these boys." And of course, security came, grabbed onto him, and pulled him out into the foyer of the courthouse. And all these reporters were there. I mean, just dozens of them that were in that courthouse that day. And they started snapping pictures of these guys taking David Wilkerson out. And then one guy said, "What's that you got in your hand?" He said, "It's my Bible." He said, "Are you ashamed of it?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, then hold it up." So he held up his Bible. And there, David Wilkerson was there standing with his Bible and pictures being snapped. And that's what hit the newspapers the next morning. He slunk back to Pennsylvania, to where his father was pastoring, wouldn't even go home because he felt like he had made such a fool of himself and shamed his parents and all the rest. And here, there he is, spread all over the newspapers, looking like he was a total idiot, if I can use that word. He went up to his father and apologized to his father and so on. But then his mother looked at him. She said, "David," she said, "you may think what you've done is a bad thing, but," she said, "you watch and see, and God will turn it to a good thing." And that woman that day spoke a word, a prophetic word, into that man's life that became one of the greatest ministries that is known around the world for dealing with people who are drug addicted, alcohol addicted, and God setting them free. We are now in 92 countries of the world and speeding toward 1,200 centers in those countries. And so, folks, it's just people like you and me. We don't have a whole lot, but we do what we can for the cause of Christ. We talk about missions. Teen Challenge is a mission field in Canada. And I'm going to tell you something. The clients aren't going away. There's great need. Great, great need. And it breaks our hearts. And I know it does yours to see even a grandchild or a son or a daughter that's ever been involved in drugs, or a neighbor's kid or someone you may work with. It just is there, and you and I can do something about it, and we're giving it our very, very best. And thank God we're seeing the Lord Jesus changing lives. We're seeing people coming to Christ, and girls and guys coming into the program that knew nothing about the Lord and learning of Him on a daily basis. And the unfortunate thing is, some who've been in church life made wrong choices, wrong decisions, and wound up with the enemy trying to destroy them. But then Jesus comes. He answers the prayers of parents and grandparents. And we've seen these lives changed for the glory of God. Isn't that good news? Amen. So Trish, I think you're first in the docket. Now we have Trish and Bonnie here with us. And this is the first time that I get to hear their testimonies today. And so they're now part of our outreach team, and we just love them. And come on, Trish. Would you make her welcome this morning? Can we do that?
Okay, so good morning, everybody. As you know, my name is Trish, and I was born in El Salvador, but raised in Costa Rica until I was 8 years old. And then my family and I moved to Toronto when I was about, I was eight years old. I have one biological sister who is 3 years younger than myself. I came from a loving background, but yet a rocky one. My mom, who came from a Catholic background, was a saint who never drank nor smoked, but my father was the complete opposite. My parents were not in agreement spiritually, which caused extreme tension in our home. I wasn't quite sure why we came to Canada from Costa Rica, but I do remember we were running away from the revolution that was taking place at the time. Once we were in Toronto, we moved quite a bit, and it was hard to be accepted because of the frequent moves and the language barrier. My father started drinking more than usual, and this had a huge negative impact on all of us, especially for me. My mother found comfort in God, and she continued through her personal pain to show us that faith truly can carry you even through the darkest trials. I found comfort from attending church, as deep down inside I had a desire to know God in a personal way. At age 13, I went through a traumatic experience which led me to lose all trust in people. This is when I lost my innocence. I was crushed and I didn't know how to deal with it, so I hid it from everyone, but it caused me to feel very lonely and angry at the world. I started to rebel and act out through unhealthy life choices of drinking and smoking. I was trying to find comfort in my peers, and I was also numbing out the pain of my childhood by going to house parties, and then it progressed to an increase in drinking, which affected all areas of my life. Around the age of 16, I remember getting into an argument with my father, which caused me to run out of the house and not come back for many years. It was tough for a while. I left home because I had no money, no job, and nowhere to go. Feeling pity and bitter and unloved, I would turn to drinking to help me cope. I was attending school, but it wasn't going good for me there either. The only good thing at the time was my high school sweetheart, and shortly after meeting him, I became pregnant with Brandon. I was happy to tell my mother, but terrified to tell my father. This decision was not easy to make, and in the meantime, I had heard that my father was attending church. I couldn't believe that my father, an atheist, was seeking God, so I decided to go see for myself. I arrived at the church, and I couldn't believe it. My father was there. Not only was he there, but there was evidence that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God is so amazing. He answered my mother's prayers and brought my father to Christ. He rescued my dad from the horrible pit he was in and became a reborn Christian. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I graduated with honors that year, and Brandon was born December 16, 1994. What should have been a happy time for me wasn't. My son was born with a congenital heart defect and needed open heart surgery. All my concentration went on my son, but it was very stressful. When I should have turned to God, I didn't, and instead I started smoking again to cope with the pain and had the occasional drink to numb out everything that was going on. When I was 21, I decided to attend college. I went to Humber and I finished my degree for business management. At age 25, I met a man by the name of Demetrius, who was perfect for me except for the addiction. We both worked in the nightlife. He was an electrician / bartender, and I owned my own business in promotions. I also worked in the adult entertainment clubs on the side. So for years, everything was going great, so I thought. I was living a happy life. Drinking was just on the weekends, and we used drugs occasionally. To me, this was all normal. One day, about 5 years ago, Dimitri and I broke up, and I thought my whole life was over. I turned to more drinking and even harder drugs to numb out the pain. Not long after, I began experimenting with heavier drugs, and it took over my life, and I lost everything. This mental anguish and emotional anguish I was going through led me not to care about myself anymore or others. This was the beginning of what I called my stairway to destruction. Satan came to this world to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's exactly what I was letting him do. I carried on with my life, getting further and further away from God, and even realizing that it was solely separating myself from my family and everybody else. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous today. I was alone, helpless, and once again, I had nowhere to go. I had hit my rock bottom. The next season of my life, it was a nightmare. It involved usage of more dangerous drugs, in which I then became a danger to society. Because of driving while being intoxicated, I was incarcerated. My sister bailed me out, and after leaving me there overnight to teach me a lesson with one condition that I would attempt and challenge, I agreed to it right away because I just wanted to get out of there. And in my heart, I just thought of going away for a year just made me uneasy. I was being resistant to God's plan for my life, and this led me into a world of heavy spiritual oppression. I believe that God was trying to get my attention, and because of my rebellion, I opened up myself to further bondage, which drove me into a spiritual battle and continual state of fear. I believe that through my prayers and through my family's prayers, and God brought me back to a greater surrender, and then I finally entered the doors of Teen Challenge on January 29, 2013. So since coming to Teen Challenge, my heart has certainly been softened. I am experiencing so much more freedom in my walk with God. He has touched my heart, and in so many ways I know that I am forgiven and loved of Him. My relationship with my parents is the closest as it has ever been, and I have to add that my father now is a pastor. So I have had the opportunity to share with my son my love for him, and the bond with us is becoming stronger. God has opened up my eyes to what is really important in life. I know the pain of being broken, crushed, and wounded, and lost, and I want to be available for those who are going through the same path that I've traveled. So Psalm 34, 17 to 18 says, The Lord, righteous, cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I truly want to be a part of God's plan, in which are being set free from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. God has heard my cry and my help, and he has delivered me and continues to bring me to greater surrender. I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures. Psalm 107, 13 and 14 says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the outer darkness, and broke away their chains." Isaiah 61, 1, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I am thankful for God's mercy and his grace. The truth is, we're all in need of God's mercy, and the good news is that it's available for us. It's not even available because of any love that we have for him, but because of the love that he has for us. So thank you.
Wow. Aren't you glad for Calvary? I look at this cross there. Not one thing that's pretty about it. Not one thing that's glamorous about it. But when you think of what Jesus did, giving his life, in the midst of our brokenness, our rebellion, and all the stuff that takes place, he doesn't give up on us. His grace and his mercy is there. When I think of these precious young bodies that come into this center, and the man that wrote this book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and tells the whole story of Teen Challenge, and those things are on the table downstairs, and they're free of charge. And also, if you've got kids at home or grandkids that you would like to have one of these New Testaments, we came, Bible Society has developed these for us, and you'd like to take one, you just go down there and help yourself. But in the process of all that God is doing, the thing that has amazed me with these young people that come into the program is that they're engineers, nurses, business people, others that are from every kind of a background. One of the girls in our program, she's got her degree in psychology and didn't do her one bit of good because she didn't have Jesus in it, and went down a slippery slope into lostness. But then Jesus comes. And he makes the vile sinner clean. That's what the cross is all about. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us, washes us, renews us. And some of us sitting in this room today, you've been around a long time. Some of you. And you've experienced a lot of things about life. And today, the Lord kind of brings us back to the reminder of what he once did in our own hearts. And that's good news. Amen? And I just thank the Lord for his great love and for his great mercy. Another precious young lady that's here with us today, her name is Bonnie. And she's going to come as well. Bless you, dear.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Bonnie, and I was born in Peterborough, Ontario, but was raised in a non-Christian home in Kitchener. My early childhood memories revolve mostly around the physical, mental, and emotional abuse I suffered from my mom after my father walked out on the family when I was 6. By the age of 11, I remember becoming extremely depressed while living a life of so much confusion and uncertainty that I tried to commit suicide. But by the grace of God, I was found and was hospitalized for several weeks. Once I returned home alone, things only got worse and I began to run away.
At the age of 12, I was using drugs and drinking daily and enjoyed the numbness I felt while intoxicated. By the age of 14, I found myself pregnant with my first daughter, Destiny. I moved in with Destiny's father, but once she was born, he became abusive and controlling, and I moved out on my own with Destiny. Within a few months, I met a man by the name of Keith and began a relationship with him. He seemed to be filling the love void in my heart and was able to provide for me and my daughter. And by the age of 17, I was pregnant again with my second daughter, Leanne. And at the age of 20, our world was turned upside down when my daughter, Destiny, at the age of 5, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and she was given 3 months to live. She was rushed to McMaster Hospital, where she was in major surgery 2 days later to remove her left kidney and the tumor. She also began chemotherapy and radiation all within 1 week. As I was with Destiny Hamilton and Keith, Leanne's father, continued to work, Leanne was passed around to many different caretakers. This was an extremely difficult time for our whole family. Once Destiny was stable enough for her to come home, we returned back to Cambridge. It was only a few short months later, while Destiny was still receiving chemotherapy, that Keith spanked her in an aggressive manner, which was very inappropriate considering how fragile she was. I immediately packed up our things and I moved into a woman's shelter for abuse. And from there we moved into a townhouse for the three of us. Once my daughter started school and I was home alone, this is when I became fully aware of what we had just gone through. And for the first time since Destiny's diagnosis, I allowed myself to cry and experience the feelings that were bottled up inside of me. I remember this overwhelming feeling of anxiousness and also extreme loneliness, and this is when I began drinking. The drinking helped numb the pain of the reality, and I also began going out to the nightclubs, because this is where I thought I was enjoying myself, letting loose and having no cares in the world. Well, little did I realize that by the age of 22, my life was spiraling out of control and out of control so quickly. I knew at this time I had to make some choices before my lifestyle would begin to affect my daughters. And it was then that I did what I thought would be the best thing for them, and I signed over my parental rights. Shortly after this, I went into a 3-month secular rehab. But once I left there, I continued to stay in the addiction. I found myself in a toxic relationship with a drug dealer who introduced me to intravenously shooting up cocaine. It wasn't long after this that I began working in the adult industry, which had me traveling around to places I was very unfamiliar with and doing things I never imagined myself doing. My life had become so destructive, and I found myself in such confusion that there were many days I had no idea of even what day of the week it was. I truly didn't know or even recognize the person I'd become. Through all of this, though, the one thing I do remember is my heart aching and how I longed to be back with my daughters. My younger brother, out of desperation, arranged for me to connect up with her uncle and aunt, who at the time of seeing me in such a state of hopelessness and confusion, so graciously offered me to move in with them. And it was in their home that I witnessed the true freedom, love, joy, and peace that comes from living a life in and for Christ. For the first time ever, I experienced the love of God. They truly were the hands and feet of Jesus in so many ways. They showed unconditional love and acceptance that I had longed for my entire life. It was during this time, at the age of 25, I remember receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My life was beginning to look brighter, and I began to have hope again. I was working 2 part-time jobs, attending church regularly, and my relationships with my family were being restored. I was still using drugs occasionally, but not nearly as much as before, and had completely stopped intravenously using. Within this year, though, I met a man by the name of Mark and fell head over heels in love with him. Within 4 months, we were married. Prior to our wedding, Mark attended church with me and was even baptized. But within a few months after the wedding, things changed quite drastically, and Mark quit coming to church, and my relationship with Jesus was not very welcome in our home any longer. It wasn't long before I began to live a life pleasing to the flesh instead of pleasing to God, and my life was beginning to fall apart again. Mark and I were using heavy drugs quite regularly, and I found myself frustrated and desperate. Uncle Levi suggested Teen Challenge to me, and I did fill out an online application and made an appointment. But Mark became extremely upset at this because he thought I would be deserting our marriage. So I didn't pursue Teen Challenge, but needless to say, our marriage fell apart quickly, and I left him a few months later. My drug use at this time once again escalated, and I was again using crack cocaine and opiates all day, every day. So I thought that by changing location and moving out west with my brother may be the solution. A few months after I got out to BC,
and was still struggling with the addiction, I found myself in another recovery center, and I stayed there for 5 months. It was at this time I decided to come back to Ontario to be closer to my family. So it was within this last year, though, I believe God used several major situations in my life to bring me to a place of complete submission. The first beginning on March 6, 2012, as my precious mom was diagnosed with incurable cancer. After surgery and radiation, my mom was able to come home with me, where I was very blessed to have the opportunity to nurse her while she peacefully passed away on April 25, 2012, and went home to be with Jesus. It was also during this time, though, that my mom accepted Jesus as her Savior. And not even 1 month later, while I was visiting my younger sister in Owen Sound, her and her husband were in a critical motorcycle accident that caused them both to be in ICU for several weeks. Once they were released from the hospital, they were both temporarily physically disabled and unable to care for their 3 children. It was at this time I decided to move to Owen Sound and help care for the family as best as I could. Once things were stable at the home front, I began working full-time at a nursing home and started college for a nursing degree. But because I still hadn't truly dealt with the underlying reasons for my addiction, it wasn't long before I found myself associated with the wrong people again and in a relationship with yet another drug dealer. Before I knew it, my lifestyle was affecting my work and I soon lost my job. Shortly after this, my car was surrounded by the SWAT team and I was being arrested and charged with possession with the intent to traffic crack cocaine. Once released from jail, I quit school and headed back to Kitchener. I remember feeling that I had gone way too far this time and that I was nothing but a complete failure. It was during this time, after being up for several days, getting high and hoping that this frustrating cycle that I called life would come to an end, that God divinely intervened and used my brother and uncle to encourage and direct me to get help and call Teen Challenge. So it was on February 26, 2013, I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge. God has and is using this program to embrace, love, grow, educate, and minister to me in ways that I could have never imagined. He has, without a doubt, overly exceeded my expectations of what I had expected this program to be. I have developed such a deeper passion for Jesus. I can now say wholeheartedly that He is the lover of my soul. I, for the first time, feel free to be me and love myself just as I am. I feel free to have hope again and to live shame-free. In my past, I would seem to take a few steps forward in the right direction, but then would choose to somehow sabotage that attempt, not believing I was worthy to be happy. I am now allowing myself to experience the love and the joy of the Lord with no regrets this time. I no longer resist change, but embrace it. I also am learning to fully trust and believe that I am a precious daughter to God, but this Father God is a God that will never leave me or forsake me, and that I will forever be His little girl. I would like to bring this to an end with sharing 2 praise reports. The first being that all of the criminal charges that were against me were dropped, which means I am able to further my nursing degree. Amen. And the second being that my beautiful daughter Destiny truly is a miracle and is now 17 years of age and healthy. She has been cancer-free and in remission since finishing her treatment. God opened the doors for Destiny and I to be reconciled by phone and internet 3 weeks prior to me coming into the program, and He has abundantly blessed our relationship in such a tremendous way to the extent that we've seen each other for the first time in 10 years last week. We were able to spend 4 amazing days together that were filled with love, joy, laughter, and so much reconciliation. Words cannot even begin to describe how grateful I am that God is and has already begun to restore the years that the locusts have stolen, just like His word promises in Joel 2:25. So it is my absolute pleasure to stand here today and to encourage anyone who may feel like they have gone too far, lost too much, or had too much stolen from them. God is a God of restoration, and not only does He want to give you what you have lost, but He wants to give you so much more. Never give up and always know and believe that God is a good God and He loves you so very much. The scripture I would like to leave you with is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a home. Thank you.
Now you know why it's worth the investment. You girls are kind of waking me up today. I just want to leave you with a thought too. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes to the Lord, who is the Spirit. When I think of what God has done in doing in these precious lives, and many times when I walk onto the property, through the doors into the center, whether it's the men's or the ladies, I'm overwhelmed with the fact that I've walked into a place where there's literally moving miracles all over the place. And the stories are similar, but they're all different, because they're all individuals that have been broken and robbed from. And in so many cases, innocent in what they started to do, wind up in chaos. And if God had laid on your heart today to be able to help us on a monthly basis, we'd say thank you, thank you, thank you. David Wilkerson's brother, and David went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, unfortunately, in a car accident. But Don Wilkerson made the statement, and Don is now in his 70s, and he still works for King Challenge. He's still in the original center in Brooklyn, New York City, operating that center, but does travel all over the world, preaching and sharing Christ wherever he goes in all kinds of situations. But he made this statement about Teen Challenge. He said, "Hope lives here. Freedom is found here. Changed lives leave here." And that's what Teen Challenge is all about. It's not about a program as such, although we have that, and it's a good one. These women are in classes every day, and when they leave this place, it's about the equivalency of having more than a year of Bible college under their belt. It's absolutely amazing when you walk in, and we have a jewelry program, and it's there, and you'll see these young ladies there taking sterling silver necklaces and all the chains and all that stuff, and semi-precious stones, and designing a piece of jewelry that we take out into churches and bigger places, the bigger churches, like they have the women come and have that on display where it can be bought right there, because they know every dime that is spent at that table goes back into the ministry and touching and helping more girls coming into the program. It's not a lot of money. We have a car program where people donate their vehicles to Teen Challenge, and that goes to the firm and helps with some of the necessity of the income. It's not huge, but it all helps. And I think you heard here today that it's worth it. Because we're seeing this, and we're realizing what God is doing in these lives and these young men and women. And I just want to say thank you to you for even considering today, helping us and becoming a monthly sponsor with us, even if it's just for 1 year. If you could do that. And then downstairs on the table, I want to invite you to come down. Meet the girls yourself. My wife will be there as well. And there's free stuff on the table. If you know somebody, maybe that's in your family or beyond it or whatever, you know somebody that has a son or a daughter that's going through trials of drugs, there's stuff down there that you can give to them that'll help them. And you'll be blessed because of it. Because Jesus sent us out into this world, and He came to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Why does He do it? Because He's merciful. Would you bow your head with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these precious ones that are in this room today. Lord, thank you for the pastor, O God. And bless him as he's on vacation, Lord, resting and praying and thinking, Lord, about this new year as it begins, O God, after he gets back here, Lord, as to how to touch more lives in this city of Newmarket. Lord, that how this church can be utilized, Lord, as the lighthouse that has been down through the years. And I pray, O God, for every precious life that's in this house today, that, Lord, you will touch them and minister to them, Lord, in ways that create new beginnings. And so, Father, we just say thank you for your blessedness, Lord, to each one. And Jesus, for all the good things, Lord, that you have been doing. And Father, we just say thank you that you love us and that you care for us. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment, how many of you in this room would know somebody that needs that help
a cheap challenge provides, but right now you'd like to have prayer for that person. Just with an uplifted hand, just let it down again. I'll see it. We'll just pray. You know somebody that's hurting today or some family that needs that touch from God. Just anyone at all. Just lift it up. Yes, I see it. Yes, I see it. And so we're just going to believe God for that, for those lives. Amen? And you don't know. You don't know what your prayers do. Touching deep into the areas of people's homes and lives, including your own. Father, I ask, oh God, that you will just touch, Lord, that particular need right now, Lord, where that was indicated in this room today. And I pray, Father, that there will be redemption and salvation that will come through this. And Lord, that these people will be set free by the Spirit of the living God. So Jesus, have your way, we pray. And everybody say, amen. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank Bonnie and Trish. I know it can be nerve-wracking being up here. And you don't get enough credit, I'm sure. But for everybody out there in the field, it takes somebody to hold them up. And I don't know if it's been mentioned more than once, but please join us downstairs and see the display and get to meet Bonnie and Ruth and hear their testimony. And you have a little display set down there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. And as you leave here today, may the living Lord go with you, and may he go ahead of you to show you the way. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.